blown out.
No, not too much. You got a regular thing to do it with.
You got pressure.
Yeah, well, I take mine game.
Just drive them up
there? No, I can't really don't move them back first. Put a little stuff in and get it on. Because you can't, blowing them out, setting up there ain't doing a bit of good. Back pressure and setting up there ain't no good. No. It picks that stuff up and it'll fall right back down the hole come out of. You take them out and lay them down, it'll blow it clean on out on the outside of the ground.
Yeah,
all that rust. Steam and water together.
Yeah. You know, I hate to have radiator trouble these days. They charge us so much for that. That's got to be bad as automatic transmission. Way up there.
I mean. You know, automatic transmission is coming down a little bit now. There's going to be so many of them, you know?
No, are they?
Yeah, they're coming down. Yeah, so we've seen many of them.
Huh?
A lot of heavy work.
Heavy work?
Heavy.
Yeah, they're heavy. Well, you take a big automobile, the transmission is bigger than that motor than that car there.
Oh, really?
You take a big old Cadillac, a big old Imperial, or something like that, the motor, try to make it bigger than that motor. Weighs just as much.
That's what to put the W on it for. When's the last time you drove your big car?
Yeah, about a month ago. I'm going to get it out and start driving it.
But let me tell you about what I found out. The battery on that thing cost $39.
By the kind of battery goes in it. You know that?
What kind of battery?
Buy about a $25 battery. Buy all you want.
Well, Aaron said it wouldn't hold it up.
Yes, it will, too. Yes, it will, too. If you're on a radio and not acting all the time, ain't nothing gonna hold up.
That's what
it
is.
It ain't gonna hold up.
Not have it.
I just soon not have it. Of course, as long as you got it now. You take on a long trip. If you take a long trip, like out west, you got to have that thing in there.
Oh,
they tell me you a buff out there.
Well, I do that desert out there when it gets about
120. But, I don't
have any money. I'm not going out there.
No. Well, I just a regular bag of whole that car. That'd be one thing. It's big enough. If you ever have to buy one, or ain't needed, a little either $25 battery. Just like anybody else has. That's what I got in my car. Mine, it's got the same motor, the same everything in that Plymouth. I got the same thing you got. And I got a cheap battery in there. Of course, like I say, you got a big heavy battery. Of course, now, if you can just sit still with the air conditioner and run everything else, yeah, you got to have a big battery.
Because air conditioner don't run off the battery, does it?
Yeah. You got fans and everything in there, you know.
Yeah.
And your motor's turning, of course. If you got them fans in there, unless you're running down the road, it won't take no electricity.
Oh,
but
I see.
Still, it will.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I don't care a thing about that air. I'll tell you why. Whenever you get to where you're going, you step out of that car, you're in trouble then. Get that hot air, it really will be hot. It'll seem like it's twice as hot as it was before you got in there. I don't even want air conditioning in my house. I've been raising women.
Yeah.
I don't have this problem with mine. You see that fan?
Yeah.
Well, you got plenty of ventilation. I do see it. Well, I don't have this problem.
Only trouble I have about air conditioning when I go to the hospital. They got that old air conditioner on, you can't breathe.
I know it. And nobody else can in there.
You raise the window. You raise the window, and I'm telling you, half a dozen nurses will be down there just on you.
I know they will.
They don't.
Why, it's too damn
time
cold in that hospital. Did you know there's a many old person that helped kill my uncle right up in that hospital? He went in there and got pneumonia and died after he got in there.
Yeah.
put him in an old nightshirt and it's freezing, of course you're going to get pneumonia. An old person will. Joe Smith had done the same thing. And I saw all these old men, see?
Yeah.
They put him in there to get pneumonia and the governor got to stay out and check that month, see?
Phil Patterson's come back with a bad cold. He's in the hospital.
Sure, well.
They always tell you to take your clothes off and wait for the doctor.
Yeah.
That was the doctor's office. They do it in the doctor's office.
I know they do. I don't take mine off. I wait to get in there.
I do too.
I just wait to get in there. They tell me to take them off, but I don't.
I don't know why.
I sit there and freeze to death.
That's the stupidest thing I've
ever. I'll take my undershirt off, and then I put my other shirt back on. Yeah.
They must think you're all geared up in there.
Well, they think you come from Alaska.
I think you got your leggings on or something.
They think you come from Alaska. That ain't where you used to go, see?
Yeah, but you stay in there for an hour and walk outside and that hot air hits you. You can't hardly breathe.
Some people live in it. I guess they get hard to go.
Yeah. That's the only thing I know.
Do your wife like it?
Heck no.
Got
she
no
ain't never liked it. Been there 6-7 years. Ain't like she don't still don't like it.
She's been on the same job all the time.
She still don't like it. She said during the day though you don't get near as tired. That's one reason they have it.
Yeah.
They can stay cooler, you know, and work.
Yeah.
But if you ain't working, you're laid up in the bed, you gotta have a cover on you.
Yeah. Question. You see what I'm driving now.
Yeah. Your wife kicked the other way from you?
Yes,
I seen her driving that thing yesterday.
Let me tell you something, but I found out something.
Mine wants me to buy her one now.
I tell you why the women like a power steering. That means they can turn the wheel and just sit still.
Yeah.
They've been driving her car since she was hardly big enough to look out. And she never had that close to move the car to turn that wheel. She wanted to do it the hard way. Now that power steering, she don't matter.
And now she don't want to drive, isn't it?
No.
You know people need to spoil them. Did you know? Yes, sir, they need to spoil them.
Buster, how can you put that tune-up fluid, you know, in your clean up your valve and not just ruin your filter? You got to change the filter pretty soon after you do that. Change
yeah.
the oil and everything.
Dude, you have to put another filter on it.
Well, that runs up the...
Why? Valve. You want to put something in there to clean your valve up?
This one here.
On this one?
Yeah.
One
of the valves sort of acting up.
Sticking, kind of sticking a little?
Yeah.
It might be need adjusting. You know? You think it's subject to run up or off?
Yeah.
There ain't no locks on them. They just like hard to move it on.
Yeah.
But it could be a sticking valve. Well, don't use that kind you put in your oil. Use that kind you run down through your car with, a chase side.
And then that won't bother your oil.
Won't bother your oil at all.
Oh,
the best thing to do
That's
is
right.
pour that thing in there late in the afternoon, get the carburetor top off, and pour it in and flood it clean out, and then let it sit overnight. Let that stuff be inside of your motor,
yeah.
in your valve.
Okay, so you'd rather have it in oil.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care about putting it in that oil. I don't know.
Hmm.
No, I'd rather put it in the top and let it run down from the top.
In the
cylinder.
In the
head. Let it run down through the head. Let it go down through the top instead of coming up through the bottom and be oil. Oil ain't do no good. That ain't gonna stop it before that. In your lifters. Your lifters ain't sticking. You stick it in your block, but you have to oil it from the top. Therefore, you have to run through your carburetor to get in there.
Uh-huh. You got some?
I had some that I used. I had 2 cans of that stuff that I didn't use. They it right over here.
Where you get it? Western Oil?
No, I get it in mine. Western Oil's got it, though. I'm just as good as any.
Well, next time you go by, pick
All
up
right.
a little bit.
I'll probably go pay tomorrow. I need some, and I'll pick up some. But I need some. Just put back inside.
You need to have a little on hand.
I do. Well, I just use this. That's the Saturday. A little couple of that. He didn't do it no good, though. 3 cans. 3! 3 cans it was.
Would you like to have a little bad news?
Can't stand on the money line. What is it?
You know that Franklin, all them pretty new tires on it?
Yeah.
One of them wasn't new.
Wasn't new?
We put it on the rack up there, Smitty. I noticed the whole day that it had a bubble on it.
A bubble? Well, I'm not.
All the others put it back in.
Was it on the ground? It was on the ground. And it wasn't new.
You know,
I tell you what,
anybody else think about these things. But if I was going to do that again, take a car like that, you could go out there and take it. And then I'd take it into some of these good service stations. And let them service it. They'll find lots of them.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah. Of course, you get to look at them better.
You see it better jacked up. That's right.
And they are pretty.
Well, you know, yesterday I saw a little Chevrolet up there, 64. A little Malibu. You don't even look good at your car. I called him while I was going to ask him what he wanted that thing. You know what he wanted that thing? 1995. He said, well, if you're going to trade in something, so I'll come down on it. He said, you know, if you're going to trade in something, I'd hike the price up $300. I said, you would. No, but whatever you trade in, you're going to give it to them.
That's right.
Whatever you trade in, you're going to give it to them.
Just figure on that.
Well, I had a little car the other day, had a bubble on the side of the darn tire, and I took a pin and stuck that thing, left the air, and I ain't had no trouble out of it since. You know? That's air gets in that outer layer of rubber. You know? A little air pocket gets in there. You stick a pin in it?
No, I got a new one.
Well, you did.
I just want to
You still got the old one? Yeah. Heck yeah.
I
ain't scared of it. I'll drive it. I'll give you something for it. I'll sell it to somebody. I can get that bubble out of it. There it is. And finally died, I think.
Oh, he really had a fall, yeah.
Yes, sir, he really had a fall. Come on, let's go inside.
All right, shut down.
And you said your name was which?
Guy Miles. Miles.
Guy Miles?
Uh-huh.
You're not related to the Miles in McGinnoway, are you?
No, sir.
No, I just want to stop that. Let's go in.
Yeah. Oh, there, Myron!
Paid on it for me, you know, now I'm shaped. I mean, it ought to have been white. I have seat, Myron.
Okay. Whatever you're doing, Mr. Boy, don't stop what you're doing. I tell you. Where are you going to sit?
I'm going to sit back in the room.
Go my hat away.
Ask him.
Robert Wood.
You live in Norwich. It's called the Old Will Welch place.
Old Will Welch place.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
What become of me is,
Miss Sally?
Yes, sir. Was that her, your sister? No.
No. I wasn't connected with them at all, Mr. Boyle. I just heard about it and got a hold of it. He's one of my close neighbors. You ever see him?
Yes, sir. And how's they doing? Him and his family?
Oh, they're doing extra good, seems to me.
Seems like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, seems like they're doing extra
seems
good.
Seems to me like it better than they have been. Both of them complained, especially Mr. Patterson here for a good long time. You know, he worked at the university.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, 10, 12 years or more. Something like that. I reckon he works out a lot of insurance. I mean, Social Security, and they get along a lot better. And I understand he's taking some children that are raised, adapted them, or done something that are related to them.
Uh huh.
So they're going along with that and seems to be mighty well contented.
Yeah.
Now, I thought we was the best of friends. I was fond of Mr. and Ms. Patterson both.
Yeah.
And we were Welch fly. I mean, him was old acquaintance.
Yeah. Well, he died mighty young, didn't he,
yes,
Mr.
Yes, he did. Fine man, I thought. Real man.
How old would you say he was when he died?
Let me see. Let me make a rough guess. He was, could have been 45, maybe 50.
That old?
That, I don't believe he's much over 45 years of age.
Yeah.
It's just my rough guess.
Well, I didn't know, but from what they said, I judged he wasn't past that anyhow.
That's right. He was pretty young.
Yeah. All them boys around, you know, remembered him. He used to umpire their games for them.
That's right.
Fred Wood and a whole lot of them, you know.
He actually gave the sheriff around here some, and I don't know what and all. And there was another fella there that I thought was a fine fella, and his name was
Grace.
Grace, yes, Grace.
Coon.
But there's another one there that connected with it. Wood. Evans? Yeah, George Evans.
Captain Evans. Captain Evans?
Not the old man Evans, but he was a young man. He got killed with a shotgun. And somebody thought he killed himself accidentally, or might have been on purpose, just committed suicide. Bob Evans. Bob Evans, you don't know anything about him.
Uh-huh.
I don't reckon.
Swink.
And Swink, he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Paul Swink.
Yeah.
When we hit River Sticks Bridge.
I don't believe I heard about Paul Evans, Mr. Boy.
No, I don't think he did. He died. You see, he died way back yonder.
Yeah.
Way back yonder.
Well, now you know Miss Anna.
Yes, Miss Anna Wood.
Yeah. She writes much older than you are.
I bet so.
She's 95.
I even knew her mother, Miss Evans.
Uh-huh.
She lives to be old.
Uh-huh.
It looks like Ms. Wood is just going on and on. She's still alive, I guess.
Oh, she does well. I go there and talk to her.
She's a great old soul, I want to tell you that.
She is that now. Now, you know what she can do? Mr. Boyd, what she can do, she can talk about those things that happened right back there. And then she can come right up there and tell you what they're working on out there in the field right now.
Can.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, well.
Yes, sir.
She's just apt. She's very much alive.
Yeah.
Yes, she's very much alive.
So you can't say they all live in the past.
That's
when
right.
They get old.
That's right.
No, so she knows what's going on.
That seems strange about some of them. Her mother was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. Very much alive old lady, almost as long as she lived. She saw everybody and knew everything. If there was any chance to see and hear, she got it. And it stuck with her. Well, I'm a whole lot like that myself. Now I'm not. I'm awful forgetful. My mind is slipped away from it, looks like, since I lost my sight. But things that happened back yonder, I remember it better than things that happened today. I thought I'd get it thoroughly recorded in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't travel about, visit much, don't go much. I have been out as much as 5 years past that I didn't go out hardly outside that gate there.
Well, you've got a nice place to stay here. I don't know any place I'd want to swap it for.
That's so. Well, I ought to be moving. I'm here. I spent 2 years and about 5 or 6 months here, almost completely alone, keeping house, cooking, doing everything. It's too far away, and the times have changed, and you get nobody to do anything much for you on God's globe. And if you set out to try to hunt somebody, you're wasting time. If you can do it all, you better be working on the job than it is to be hunting somebody to do something. And it puts me to strain because I can't see. If I could see, I'd ask. It's kind of like let's speak it and excuse the expression.
That old clown I heard in the show. Hurry, if you want to see George, the great rhinoceros with 99 stripes are leading from the tip of his nose down to the ask me no question and I'll tell you no lies. Yeah. You better not crowd me with questions now. If you do, I won't remember. I tickled me when I heard it. It's been years gone by.
Yeah.
I don't know. You couldn't say that he said anything bad after all.
I don't get things ever changed any faster than they have, you know, in the last few years. Can't get any help at all.
You're not talking to me. Mister, it's just like a new world. And it's getting, looks like in a way, Mobius. And it's old fella, Jim Mean? I don't reckon you know much about it.
Hey, I know Jim Mean.
You ought to know, he worked for us a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised right across there, you know,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
And Jim is very comical and I reckon very considerate. He told me several years ago back there that people just doing anything now, Mr. Boyd. Just anything, bro. Seems like that's the kind of way you have to pronounce it. That they're doing things they've never done before and right on changing everything is changed. And a well-posted man back on 25 years ago.
He wouldn't know nothing now, would he?
Know nothing. It's kind of like the clown said too. There's two of them, you know. One of them says, say this world is growing mighty fast. It's up there in New York where I live. Say you go out Monday morning, you see them laying the foundation for a big building. So if you don't mind when that weekend comes, you can go back by there. And says they just about got it completed. And the thing is moving. This old clown said, oh man, said that's nothing. Said, you know, in that there in Atlanta, Georgia, where I live, said, you go out Monday morning and see him laying the foundation for a big building. And she going out to your job, and you come back in that evening past that place, said they're kicking them people out of that for not paying rent. Well, that's just the way it's a moving now.
Yes, sir.
It's a moving now. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring forth.
Yes, sir.
And it's got to where it's all done. So much of it, you might as well say the whole business is run on installment plan.
Yeah. Now you never used to buy anything on a credit. I don't reckon you do now.
You know, sometimes you couldn't get it.
That's right.
They would got you at a bank, wouldn't lend you a dime on no country property.
No.
Little city property and it had to be the best to get it then.
Yeah.
Just hadn't been far back either.
Yeah.
There's 100 acres of land right over there, joining that next man there, he got a narrow strip of 30 acres that sold, I reckon, for taxes of $1 an acre. That kid bought it in.
Uh-huh.
And there's Watkins run bank, Barn Watkins Bank, and Mickey Nobody offered to sell me all that Franklin got starting down at the road crossing it. Running all the way around here to get near about and a half a mile or less of Mickey Nobody Junction.
Yeah.
Says, don't have to give me $1. Just take it.
Yeah.
Pay me when you can get it.
Yeah.
Sell you every bit of it. And of course Dr. Watson called me there one time, told me, said, you know, boy, says, I've been watching you. If everybody lived like you, we wouldn't need no courthouse.
Mm.
And said, you get all the money here you want.
Mm-hmm.
You need the money, I'll let you have it. You get all the money you want. Says another man said, I was the only man in this country. Looked like, he was a stranger to me. And he didn't tell me so either. I just heard the other man told me. Said, he's the only man that's raised his family like he ought to raise his family. Now you listen to that. You just take that in consideration.
Mm.
That hasn't been more than 40 years ago.
Didn't you tell me one time that you, about borrowing some money, didn't you borrow $1,000 or something up there?
Where?
Meganope.
Meganope? No, sir. Never borrowed a penny from Washington Bank. I had two bank failures. McIntosh State Bank broke on there. And I had the money in that. I had to pay interest on what little I got. And I got, had some business to tend to my mother and father's health was bad and expect them to pass out. I had to move from here to Georgia, made three moves in 10 months. And I went there, that happened right at the same time. I had been up that state a while and didn't know, wasn't posted about how bank affairs was going like a whole lot of them was. They said that Ramzod Zetrow had the most money in the bank. I come to find out I had more money than the truth was known than Ramzod Zetrow had. He must have went and moved here, most all of it. They got me for all I had. And I had to go and take out what I could get and pay interest on it. And I was going to Georgia to transact some business and thought I needed it. And I dropped it in Meganope Bank. Foolish thing I ever could have done. But I thought I better not throw it in my pocket. And it closed up. Of course, they paid off 100% whenever the state comptroller got through with it. But I lost on the McIntosh Bank. And that's the only, I never borrowed any money from them. They told me the same thing. I didn't have it one time there. I could get all the money I wanted. And I just didn't borrow it. And there was a man to live in debt. And I tell you one reason why. I already had the experience. My father farmed, and he furnished your property, and he planted cotton and corn and everything, and had a big family, tried to make a living for him. And he went further in debt every year furnishing sharecropping. And he won, he planted 10 acres of cotton and got one bale and had it working it and all such as that. Then trying to furnish him, gophers, I think, and everything. And so he just cut it off. He quit with that business.
He had to quit.
And he started, his fertilizer give out, barn yard fertilizer, he didn't plant another hill. Cotton. He got to making a bale of cotton and better than a bale of short cotton to the acre. And he went to pay him the cash. The old man said, since he'd ride 2.5 or 3 miles, went in the morning and got in debt that much, he said, I'm going to pay you this afternoon. He didn't mind, he didn't have another cause to go back. He'd go back and pay him the 50 cents. And he stayed out of debt. And his wagon tire was about to fall off. Get some hay wire and wrap it on until you got the money to pay for it. And he went to live in his home and boarded at the same place with that same family. Got out of debt and didn't owe nobody a penny. And before he passed away, he could sit on his back porch and get a living, independent to anybody and everybody. And he didn't know anybody, left enough to take care of his funeral expense and his wife's expense. Left 500 acres of land, he didn't owe a penny in the God's world on it, his home and house on it, and stock. Everything I've seen has some of the fattest cattle that I ever laid my eyes on, one or two of the fattest I ever saw in my life. Had three cattle there, and had a administrative sale of it. And he didn't put him in a stall and feed him either, particularly, but they was fed on that plate. And absolutely, you could almost lay a pole, the side of a good handle or something like that, pole handle and thing, up in the crease in that cow's back. And everybody looked at it and said, it's the fattest cow they ever looked at. And the man that bought it, Henry Jones, said he's going to get $1 a pound. $7 a pound, he paid a good price. Somebody asked, how in the world can you pay such a price? He said, I get every dollar of it back. It's almost good soul now. And yet they, you had the other two in there, they said they was fat.
When you run that third one in there, why, just make your mother two machines. She was just the best cow I ever looked at.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way, that's what put into it. He lived in his home and bought it strange place. He had money. He ain't got anything he wants. He wanted a churn of ice cream or a cake. He just go by the bakery and knew the man and all order it. And his credit was good anywhere and everywhere. And they deliver that cake and don't, like old man Thrasher told me, told his clerks about me. But don't you ask him for no money. You just ask him what else.
Yeah.
And said, he told me to my face. Said, Mr. Boyd, said, you know, I quit asking you for money long, long ago. And I had a little trouble that I lost one of my babies. And had a burnout. Bank failure. He knew it. I went to him and told him that I had the bank figure. I said, Mr. Cracker, I said, I owe you a little money. And I said, if you want me, I said, I'll strain every effort is in my body, I'll get your money. He done kind of like this and rubbed his hands with Mr. Boyd. I said, money or no money? Anything in this world I've got that you want, come and get it. And says, when that child died, he says, I done turned J.E. loose to get out and he going back home. Says he must look after the funeral and burial expense and everything else of that kind. Says, y'all take care of it. J.E. Put him out to see to it. And I paid the bill. Well, it's a great relief to me, and it showed that that man had the highest honors for me that a man could have for another.
Mm-hmm.
That's old man John Thrasher.
Yeah.
He, I owed as much as $1,000 at a time. Didn't have a face, no. I paid him to the last penny.
Now that's what you told me. That's what is sort of coming back now.
That's it.
That was Mr. Thrasher.
Right.
That you owed him as much as $1,000 at a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I lost $700 there in one night on a crop. $750. Had five bags of peas planted, 15 acres of cabbage, about 3 acres of lettuce. And they come to freeze and kill the whole business. There's a myth. I paid that. And I paid the next spring, that was in the wintertime this spring. That spring, I smeared beans.
Mm-hmm.
I got a coal planter, and I mean I smeared beans all over the land that I had.
Mm-hmm.
The time comes for the beans I had. Mm-hmm. Man built my beans out, I shipped them by express. He said, if you bring me 1,000 baskets of beans this week, I'll buy the best quarter of money to buy. I carried him 1,000 baskets of beans. Built them out, but I never got the quarter of and I paid Mr. Thrasher that lost debt and everything that I owed him to boot.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid a man $125 to help me to get that crop planted, and he didn't make me 5 days work him with a horse.
Where did you have them beans, Mr. Boyd?
They were on our old man John McCready place.
Well, I don't know that country.
I made beans, and Bill Rickson down there come up there and won the contract, and my beans, I had a sharecropper. Thomas Woodard, Rickson, father, you know. So I take my beans, all the whole entire copper, $1.25, and I contracted them to him for $1.25. We got some good wicked beans come out there and bought 2 or 3 men, the old man Pat O'Dell. He said the beans was too old, he just had to back out. I gathered my beans and shipped them from Express from Mickey Junction, and I got better than an average of $1.50 a hamper for every one of them.
Hmm.
Average.
Well, what was wrong? What is wrong with them for?
Just more than an excuse, said it was too old. 2 or 3 days too old. Old man O'Dell come out to tell me so. I give them and ship.
Yeah.
And they sold.
But didn't he know anything about beans?
Who?
Didn't hit Mr. O'Dell?
They didn't know anything about him.
Yeah?
Yes, they did know. They were on the back down. Back down, old man Henry Stokes.
Yeah.
Old man Henry Stokes knocked him down across the curb and making open and was about to kill him. Somebody had to pull him off of him. Bill Richardson. Old man Richardson standing there with his walking cane, begging the fellas, don't let him hurt Billy, don't let him hurt Billy. That's his contract. Yeah, nothing. Daddy, Nelson Yates and Mr. Wood had a big cabbage crop down there and contracted for a dollar and a dime. The man stood there and sold for $2 a better, two and a quarter. Put a dollar in his pocket every crate that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Out of them. It's been the other way they were reneged.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
That's the way the world goes.
Yes, sir.
That would be rich for that.
Who is Bill Richardson?
He's in Orlando. That's the youngest son of the old man. The old man Richardson. Maybe you didn't know the old man. I knew him.
Was he down there at McIntosh?
He lived there a while. You know, he retired a good while before he died. He had a little insurance and he was getting enough out of it to kind of pay the board. He bowled over his horse on for quite a little bit. He bowled in Micanopy and around different places. His sons, I reckon, might have helped him some. The old man P.K. there was well fixed and pretty rich. Well fixed.
That wasn't Pretty Richardson's brother.
Who?
Bill Richardson.
Bill Richardson was his brother.
As his brother.
Did you know Jack Richardson, J.S. Richardson?
Was that another brother?
That's another brother.
Well, now I've heard of Jack, but I don't believe I've heard of Bill.
Bill could be alive down there in Orlando. He went on down there with his business and got rich, I reckon.
Oh.
And his wife never had a child for I don't know how long after he was married. I heard that they had a son born to him.
And he was in the produce business down here at McIntosh for a while.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Boyd, how did Mr. Thrasher stay solvent in them hard times when the bank was failing? He must not have lost much in the banks.
Well, he told me when he got burnt out up there, he said he was in pretty bad shape. And he thought he needed to borrow some money. And excuse me just one moment.
Yes, sir. Now, is this John or JB over there now?
And that's the old man, John.
That's the old man. Now this is J.B.
J.E.
And so they got the third J.E. Jr.
Well, now you've been talking about the old man.
Yes, that's what I've been talking about. And that young Jimmy the Third was born. The old man talked so much and he told me in the office, told me about it. So this boy said, Jimmy the Third, I got a grandson, Jimmy the Third. And he said, see here? Said, there's a little piece of land right over here, south of here. Said, see here, I made him a deed to that piece of land this morning. He was just proud of Jimmy the Third as he could be.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's going to make a good man.
Well, now you've had business, done business with
three generations of
three generations of
most say.
Yeah.
All in all.
Well, now I've done a little business with this man over here, you know, and I find that he's right straightforward.
That's right, J.E. J.E. Yes,
J.E.
I trust him. I trust him. Who's J.E.? If they got the dead wood on you, they don't mind they pull your leg, they pull my leg down the deep. They thought they had the advantage. And I didn't call it strictly honest, it's always been, but they had a paper on me. So I paid. Trouble, what I mean, they were paid one bill twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, paid one bill twice.
Yes, you know, talking about owing money, that's one of the bad things about owing merchants, Mr. Boyd, unless you keep books yourself.
That's right.
And just keep everything straight and keep your paper straight. And not many does that. You're likely to do that.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I no telling how many times that's been done in this country.
I walked in there one morning, I owed that old man some money, and I gave him a check every 30 days, here we go about what I owed him. I gave him a check every 30 days then, as often as a month rolled around, so I owed him $1,000. I was just doing quite a pretty good business, and that was for seed and fertilizer, and you know, I hadn't got it out of the crop. Crop was supposed to pay it, and I did pay it. Sometimes it takes a manager to make it pay. And I found him on fat self on the back. The manager in a way so as to pay my debt, and also understood farming better than a whole lot of people. And they think they're farming, and think they know. They're just fooling themselves. What I found out in my experience of life. I'm through now. I'm completely through. And but I looked my hand over and I've seen that the odd kind. You see deep farmers that's farming and on somebody else's money. And they just keep the wheel turning. And for ever so long. And it's kind of like they were blindfolded. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they make money and sometimes lose. That's the way the basic business goes. That's the gambling game that everybody knows.
Mr. Boyd, I come over here to ask you something. And I'm going to ask you before I forget it. Something comes up and we do something else. You're not going to wait on that. Well, let me tell you. The trouble is, they've got a coon population back there that's just big. And them coons have lit in on them watermelons while they're still green.
Oh, my.
They're still green. And I've been back there with them a time or two. And they've been putting out eggs and one thing and another. And it don't seem to me like they've slowed them up at all. I went out this morning with the boy. And you could see along there where they had a little path along their car track. And you could see them fresh tracks there. They just, as the boy said, they just thick as a lead. Sure. They just thick. I don't know whether they're going to hold them up or drop them or not. And, you know, they got a lot of watermelon, money in them melons.
Yeah, I guess so. Are they going to come on time or do they want to be late?
Well, they just going to have half a crop.
And they're somewhat late.
Yeah.
Just we are sitting here at home and know. And the watermelon deer, right? Now, if you had knew your onions well enough, you ought to get out and make some money on the watermelon deal. And them speculators ought to know just as well as I do or better. And you can't stop the coons. You done tried your hand on it. And then what is the question you're going to ask me now? This is an important question.
I going to stop them coons.
How do you want to stop them too?
You just can't walk off and let them have it.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Sounds too simple. The devil won't eat his own broth, really. No.
No.
It's you reckon there's any way you can set a steel trap and catch a coon?
Yes.
Have you done it?
Yes, sir.
What do you do with the coon?
Just throw them away.
Well, don't do it. Don't do it. Can't you see right close to where them coons come into that watermelon field? They come in from everywhere.
But the grass is so high along there now. It's grown up back there. The water's been up on that swamp right up here. You know that swamp that goes clear across there.
They eat your eggs and you have them poisoned and don't kill the coons?
I haven't seen it. They eat the eggs, but I don't see any coons.
What you use is genuine strychnine?
Yeah.
It may not be what it ought to be. And you may be giving him too much.
Yeah, don't take much, I understand.
You just give him a working dose and you work him and you don't kill it. Now, you can try this or you can leave it alone. If you can get a hold of a coon, and you just cut him up and don't waste none of it, and even the chitlins of it is just his guts and feathers and things. It's mighty good. And you take it and drag it around, scatter it, throw a piece here and a piece there, wherever you see them coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it won't last always.
No.
The rain could do away with it.
Yeah. Sun bad on it, I guess.
Yeah. But if you don't mind, you stop them. You slow them down. You stop them. And if you got your poison, I would fail to put it out. If you know, don't know what's the trouble, so I see if you can't find out what's the trouble. And if he smells that coon scent, well, coon's been slaughtered. When you say he don't want to come in there, he's allowed to stay out till it comes a big rain, wash everything off. And he's watermelon crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been putting it in eggs, haven't you?
Yeah.
And he makes for a watermelon.
Yeah.
Put it in a watermelon. It's costing you something. But you better do it. Put your poison in the watermelon. That's where your troubles lie most.
Yeah, if you could do that. You don't tell me, Mr. Boyd, that one coon can eat out a whole big watermelon.
If he's starving, he'll come mind you.
Well, now this morning, this morning we come on one, and the red meat was right there laying on the outside in seed, and they were still wet. It looked like that coon hadn't left that an hour before.
I guess not.
And the boy cut that open, and it was just as hollow as a ball.
And done been in there and got it.
Everything gone, including the juice. Hardly any juice left in there.
Yes, reaches in there, and maybe a little younger goes in there and drink the juice, and he'll get it. Just
holler
it out to the rind.
Now that one was just a little bit red. So it must have been turning.
That's right.
But that's the first one I've seen it was.
That's how come to clean it out so well, is it's ripe and sweet.
Yeah.
I'm getting ripe. The best one they found.
They take the meat and the juice, and I guess they like the seeds too.
You know, a coon, I trapped for when I was a boy and studied coons. And he's very conspicuous, and he's very humorous. And he kicked us, and then said, "You can't move a stick." Where he climbs over the fence or his regular getting over place, you don't mind, he doesn't notice.
Mm-hmm.
Put a trap there, you got to conceal it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And do something or other, make him step that way. If he can smell it, you know, you use medicine or stuff or drugs, you can buy it and kill that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kill the odor that you leave there. And it'll last for him several hours.
Mm-hmm.
He can pick up the scent of a human being. And I've set traps, and I know other trappers to do it, old experienced trappers, and just outfigure a coon, but it's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is not a mountain thing. And, much, looks like it ought to. I afraid you're strychnine is. Cheated on that or something. But that that I'm talking about there, it's right smart little trouble to do is to get a hold of a coon. If you can catch one, set a steel trap or two, and catch one and take him and tear him all the pieces and cut him all up. And don't throw away a piece over where you want to put it. Put them coons head of that field. And he's more likely to come the same place every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it gets rainy season, where he can scent good, he'll call over a place that he hadn't been called over quicker.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. But he goes for scent.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one awful scenter on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
And he can pick up a scent that's as well as anything you ever saw. Very sensitive to that. Be careful about what you do, move around where he travels, where he enters a field. You get to over in there and they all get together and get to romping and eating watermelons while they have a plum frolic.
I believe they've had a frolic over here.
Yes, they have a frolic.
Now they haven't been all over the field, you understand?
Yes.
But they've been almost all over the field. You get a little spot all along where they've been, and they've just about got every melon there that looks good.
Well, now there's another thing you could resort to. If you had a good box, put a dog in, several boxes, and get several dogs. And carry them down there and put them in a box and feed them there if you want to. Let them spend the night there.
Mm-hmm.
If they smell that dog, you're not going about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going a good long way before he goes. in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get away from the center of that dog. You know, right the dog a bit. Center of the dog, he's afraid of it. Really afraid of it.
Yeah. They don't have to see the dog around if the dog's been there and they can smell it.
That's right, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. They can scent it more than you have an eye.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by his sight, he's got sharp eyes, and he's got a sharp center on his nose, too. Pick up the scent quick.
Mr. Mitchell, why couldn't they was talking about getting somebody to run the dogs back there. Why couldn't you just, after they put out them eggs, the fellow didn't want to take his dogs back there?
That's right. No.
Why couldn't the fellow just take some dogs back there, just lead them back there, and have them back there, walking around?
You're not going to stay all night? You're going to spend the night?
No, just walk them around where they leave the scent.
He'll find a place where he can get in there where scent is not too high, and maybe go in and get your watermelon. And if one goes in, he'll lead more in.
Oh, I see.
They'll go in sometimes in together.
Oh.
They'll go to a rail fence, get up on this corner and walk that fence till the corner gets over in the field. The other corner of the rail fence. You know, that's big, you build zigzag. And they'll get over when they go in a pen the field or chew for field or something like that, they'll go to the same place. You see where he climbed it. Walk the fence and get over yonder and get down. Very careful, look like him there. And he come in the same place and go out the same place mostly, but sometimes he's not as careful about where he goes out, he is about coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's humorous. And, but he's very particular. And I know they won't like a dog scent.
No, if you knew.
What kind of eggs was that you used?
Just some they bought at the store.
Some hen eggs. Now, if it was turtle eggs, it'd be much better. I'm going to tell you the way to work that. If it's in the sand places, I have to just run a fur. Have a fly and run a fur around that watermelon patch. You get in that, and you walk that. You can take a cooter hole and drag it. With the eggs in it, you butcher the turtle. And have the eggs in there, and guts. Drag it around, he could take that and fart it. He ought to, I don't reckon they are educated as well as I am to it, but they'll get on track of where Cooter crawls. He'll crawl and he'll fart it till he finds where he digs a hole and buries his eggs. And the turtle generally puts his eggs down that deep in the ground.
Oh.
He'll bore out a hole with his head and lay his eggs in there, and they don't miss them. Doesn't miss
him.
And the crow is right behind, too. The old crow is just about as slick as anything you ever saw. And you drag that cooter hull around that place in the evening, maybe after sundown, and then center that turtle and guts and eggs and whatever it might have you. He'll get on the trail of it, he'll follow it. And then the eggs was poisoned and spread them around that turtle hole. They'll gather there and they'll eat them, and they'll be sure to get your eggs in poison too. Follow that ever so far. Halfway around the field almost. The fresh fur, he does love to walk in that, to run with a plow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he thinks a turtle's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's their daily occupation, a nightly occupation, as far as where a turtle crawls, until he finds his eggs and hardly ever fails.
Mm-hmm.
Get them. That's what keeps our birds is these old scavenger crows that we have, the greatest pest on God's earth. There's one here. I give anybody a dollar almost to kill it.
You couldn't get close enough if you had a gun.
Well, they get tame after a while. If I was tame enough, I could get it if I could see. This dude stay around here in his log hen nest, bird nest, and keep right up with the bird. They'll sit off yonder in a tree and watch a nice little bird building him a nest. And he'll keep his eyes on that every day until that bird lays in his eggs. Sometime maybe he's got two or three in there. He'll go down and rob it to keep them eggs.
That polar bird is just the most starving meat. Travel and hunt quail meat.
You get out there mowing your hay, and it takes all the cover from off of your quail and your meadowlark nest. An old crow will fly over it and see them shiny white eggs, and away he'll go.
Yes. Oh, they're pretty sharp and wise. Coons are just as wise. Well, you know, they can ruin your watermelon, too, yeah. You'll have to study for them, and they're reversed. You see, you get wise to anything. Try to be as wise as he is. It break out in a different way, in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise them. Take him by surprise. And get him off of his guard. They're worse on watermelon that way, they're willing to peanuts, you know. You get on a row and keep feeding up the field. Watermelon, they seem like they tell life from some dreams. Most times.
And then they'll pick out the big ones and let the little ones go?
Yes. My father, garden, you know, for many years. Insects would get on his vegetables. He didn't have too much insecticide.
What kind of powder did we use to scatter on them bugs?
I tell you what he used. Make us chew and get out the avenue on the vegetables, worms on the vegetables, and gather a few of them, put them in something, put them on the fire and stew them up, make a spray out of it, and put it in a burlap sack where the dampness would go through. And just take it and drag it over them beans or whatever it was they were eating, the peppers and different things. And wherever that odor got onto them, there wouldn't be no more bugs.
Huh.
And if it's rabbits, just cut them half in two and let his guts hang out and drag it right over your beans. It put a stop to the rabbit eating beans.
Huh.